This is Mike Kegley, and I am here with Kedrick Prince and Matt Stevens. We're going to talk about the 15-13 loss, University of Illinois falling to the University of Iowa earlier today. We will talk about what the implications are for the football program and a little bit about some of the reoccurring issues that we see around the program, and particularly the struggles in maintaining a lead down the stretch of a game. We'll also spend a little bit of time talking about the impending Northwestern game next week, which is incredibly important now. Northwestern has already qualified for a bowl, but Illinois has not, and they really don't want to allow the fourth first-year coach to beat their program and also keep them from making it into a bowl. So it's a very important week for the Illini. But first, let's take apart this game. We'll be right back in a minute.
Fans of big sports radio and sports spectacular podcasts have a new home on the Chief Sports Network. Find your favorite programs and content all in one place by downloading the Chief Sports app in your mobile device. Created in South Carolina, the Chief Sports Network is the home of an expanding network of live and podcast format programming. It is also the home of one of the leading national college football podcasts, JC and Morgan, hosted by ESPN's Mike Morgan and 24/7 Sports' JC Sherbert. Download the Chief Sports app for free and find all of your favorite programming under one easy umbrella. Thanks to all of our markets for your loyal support of Big Sports Radio and our Sports Spectacular podcast, and we look forward to connecting with you anywhere in the world on the Chief Sports app.
And as promised, this is Mike Kegley. I'm here with Matt Stevens, Kedrick Prince. We're going to go through some of the issues that we saw with the Illinois loss to Iowa 15-13 in a game that the Illini almost really dictated terms until they pulled the horns in the fourth quarter and weren't unable to move the ball that much when you're just handing off the ball up the middle. Matt, you know, you guys, you know, you're out there in the press box. We were watching from home. What jumped out at you, and I'll give you something to react to, from my standpoint, when I felt the gloom and doom was when Robertson punted a 35-yard line drive that literally got to the receiver or got to the punt returner almost instantly, 17-yard return, and then two or three plays later you get a defensive holding. And I felt like that literally was, as John Gross would call it, an energy vampire, and it sucked the life out of a lot of what was going on. Did you see it that way, or was there something else that you guys saw there in the press box?
You know, I'm just going to go by what the head coach said at the end of the game. And Brett Bielema probably wasn't happy with the last punt, but Illinois could get away with that. What made him the most mad was the holding and then the pass interference call, those two 15-yard penalties, because they preceded the 30-yard run. Right. You can't do that. And, you know, we can start this with, you know, however you want to start this. I felt like Iowa dictated the tempo of this game the entire way. They do this to everybody who's not supremely more talented than them.
Well, but so Illinois tries to.
Hold on, let me finish, Mike. They drag you into the mud, and they say, we're going to make you play the way we play, and you're going to beat us the way that playing our game. And to their credit, Minnesota came right in here and did that and beat them 12-10. And Iowa just has this way of, even if the team is more talented, you've seen it with like the Michigans of the world and sometimes even the Penn States, where they bring them in here and they drag them in the mud, and suddenly now you're playing a 18-12 game and you got to win it that way. Today was just that way. You have to play, you know, you have to play efficient. You know, you have to play efficient football, and mistakes, they make you make mistakes. And the 30-yard touchdown run is a something that, you know, Clayton Bush told us face to face, I didn't fit it up. That's on me. I messed up. And when you mess up against Iowa, it goes for a touchdown. when you mess up against Iowa's defense, guess what? It goes for either a turnover or you're getting a three and out and you're punting. They're going to make you play your best in order to beat them, unless you are unbelievably supremely more talented than them. It has been that way. I'm looking at the Ring of Honor right now at Kinnick Stadium as through the visiting coach's box. There's room for Phil Parker on that sucker, and he better go in there the minute that he's retired, because you know he's the defensive coordinator at Iowa. Just kind of knows how to make everybody kind of play their way, and then they Iowa can just, whether it's on special teams or whether it's on offense, they make a couple of plays and bing bang boom, now they're 9-2.
I look at it, my argument is not that. My argument, that's exactly what Brett Bielema wants to do as well. We saw a vision of what a great Illinois team would be, a team that's going to go out there and slog you to death. And, if they've got a quarterback who can't throw, then that's fine. They'll have an offensive line that'll beat the heck out of you and tire you out by the fourth quarter. And the only issue that I had with this game is again, you left yourself open. And the whole fourth quarter, here's what it comes down to, and let you guys respond to this. But in basketball, as a coach, I valued possessions because it gave me the opportunity to score. Mm-hmm. And I know football is a slightly different game. I get that. But what I think the biggest issue with Brett Bielema is that he looks at it as opportunity to punt. And I look at it as an opportunity to score. Now, I'm not saying you have to go crazy air raid. That's not what I'm saying. But when you have a bunch of drives where you end up punting the ball, you do punt, punt, field goal, punt, punt. Each of those drives was an opportunity to at least get a field goal. And unfortunately, the live to punt thing is the only thing that I would change, because you've got to put pressure on the other team to score where they can make some mistakes. And I think that's what Illinois ultimately doesn't do. And that's why they haven't been able to close out games, because the opposing defense goes, hey, they're going to be one dimensional. Let's put 8 men in a box and then they'll punt to us. And you're kind of almost playing into the team behind you, that's trying to catch up to you. And Iowa is too good to do that, to your point.
Yeah, I know for a fact that the head coach said after the game, we've got to put our guys in a better position. And I know what that means coming out of Brett Bielema, which is we need to be able to run the ball and get 10 yards and get a first down. And then we'll go into victory formation and win the football game. You notice that Illinois has never done that this year. You notice that Illinois, except for, I think, Florida Atlantic, has never been able to run the clock out and win a football game.
Yeah.
Or they've never been able to defensively put together something that they were like. His frustration is, why is it so damn hard for us to get a first down running the football? Why? Because teams that are going to consistent January 1 bowl games, that's what they do. Like when you and I and 75,000 people in the stands know what we're going to do, but we just execute it better than you and we can get 10 yards and then we hand it to the official and then we line up in victory formation and bing, bang, boom, we're going to win a football game. And Brett Bielema was like, why the hell can't we do that? Or when we punt them the football and pin them, inside the 20 and they have to go down and score a touchdown, why can't we get a stop? Why? Why is that so darn hard? And I think that is his frustration right now. They didn't do it. Let's be real about this, okay? They didn't do it against Toledo. They didn't do it against Maryland. They didn't do it again in any of those games, and it required fourth quarter Hail Mary type drives to salvage those wins. And that's not how Brett Bielema's teams have typically won football games. They've typically won football games by putting it in the gut of their running back and then getting in victory formation and kneeling down and handing the football to the referee, and then Brett Bielema goes out to midfield and shakes the guy's hand. That's how they win football games. And he's sitting here and he's going, why in the hell in the Big Ten West can I do that? Why is that so dang hard to do here? That's his frustration. I mean, I honest to God, I asked him a question about having more success with the run with Reggie Love this year than a lot of teams have had against Iowa. And in the middle of it, he looks at me and he goes, yeah, I thought we did have some success with Reggie. I wish we had run it more. I really wish we'd have run it more. because and I think he looks at some of those incomplete passes, especially in the fourth quarter where the clock is stopped, and he's going, what in the Sam hell are we doing? And so philosophically, that's just never going to change. That's who he is, and that's how he wants to win football games. This is a physically violent sport. He wants to play physical, and Illinois right now up front cannot win a football game. Cannot. I'm not saying they can't win a football game. They can't ensure a victory late in the game, like a lot of other good teams can. Kansas State does it all the time. Michigan does it all the time. And I think he is perplexed by the idea that his team can't do it. Iowa does it all the time.
Good.
Why can't we do it?
Okay, Mike, you might have to beat this up, but I call horseshit. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. Here's a problem. I listen to both of you. Here's a problem that I have. And I don't care if people tune this out, whatever you want to do. I have coached at a high school level, and I have coached small college basketball. And I know it's different, but the philosophy has to be this. I know that's his staple, but damn it, you have to put pressure on the other team. Illinois has so many chances to do it, and they don't. They got conservative with 13-9 lead. You had so many chances to put your foot on the throat, and they refused to do it. Great. I like watching him at Wisconsin do that. And I like the way Barry Lunny's calling an offensive game right now. But when you have an opportunity, because you said yourself, man, when you put you want to force your will on people, make them pay for doing that. Illinois doesn't make them pay. They want to punt the ball, watch the clock, and then hope they make a mistake. But you know what? You're right. Kirk Ferentz has been there for 25 years, and he's been winning the 22 bowl games. He's not going to make those mistakes. If you want to take the next step, I don't care if you're a coach, if it's basketball, women's, volleyball, whatever it is, you have to make them pay for making those mistakes. The mistakes that Iowa's made is that they punted. I would love to see Illinois run the clock out, but it's not going to probably happen. I don't know. With the offensive line has gotten better. I mean, it's not great. But if they have not proven to you this year they can do it, then stop doing it. That has to be something on the coaches. Look in the mirror and say, this is what we are, because good teams will adjust. I'm not asking them to get away from what he wants to do, but what they're doing right now doesn't work, because I will punt it and punt it and punt it, and out of all those punts, you got to be able to score. Even if it's a field goal, because enough field goals would have won the game for you. And I am not mad at any one of those players. Casey Washington, Isaiah Williams, those kids made plays today against a physical Iowa defense. I don't want to hear anything about putting kids in position to make plays, because I'm going to tell you, I've been pretty impressed with what they've done. Isaiah Williams has impressed me. Casey Washington is huge. Pat Bryan is huge. These kids are making plays. If Reggie Love probably would have had 100 yards if he wasn't playing against Iowa today. But guess what? You're playing against one of the ninth-ranked defense in the country, and it didn't happen. Look in the mirror. They need to make the adjustments. I'm really sorry, because I am never going to put myself in a situation when I'm coaching a game and a team's going to open the door and turn the ball over three times and I don't score. I use our men's and women's basketball team. I watched the men's team get carved apart against Marquette, and I watched Notre Dame do it to the women today. You know what? And they three of the girls have foul trouble. How about play a zone? Try it, because you know what? It doesn't work. And for some reason, people stay stubborn. You can't do that. Good teams make adjustments. I'm sorry. That's my rant. I'm frustrated because I'm not blaming the players. I know the officials, yeah, they made some calls, but that didn't cost them the game today. They did that to themselves, not the officials today.
Well, and let's be clear, Matt's just reporting what Brett's thoughts are. It's not really. It's an argument with you and Matt. It's an argument. Here's my only thing I would say this to Coach B, and he wouldn't care if I said it to him, because he's doesn't really care what people think. Matt's nodding his head, but I would tell him, I would say, look, man, if Nick Saban can have his come to Jesus and hire Lane Kiffin to be his offensive coordinator, then it can happen. Dogs and cats can live together. You know, the bottom line is And at some point, I think the way Brett Bielema won games was certainly valid, and it was brutal. And he did have a reign of terror. When you look at what he did at Wisconsin, that man won football games, and you know he beat the tar out of people. But the game has evolved since then. And I'm not certain, you know, if I showed up at a gunfight and I've got a musket and you got a Navy SEAL across from me with modern weaponry, I don't think I'm going to win no matter how good I was with the musket in 1776. And so to me, there's at some point the Illinois offense has to evolve, because what Phil Parker likes to do is he likes to get people where they're one dimensional and he doesn't worry about it. And I thought that's where Barry Lunney, for all the people who like to whine about him, I thought he called a pretty good game, because he did manage to get some balance in there.
Yes, he did.
Where it wasn't perfect, but I don't know that you could have, you know, they threw the ball 47 times and they ran it 23 times. I'm not certain you could flip those numbers and Illinois would have scored much of anything.
No, I don't think that's it. I think, let me be very clear, just and then I'll let you guys. I think Brellema's frustration is, look, I know I've only got one healthy scholarship tailback.
Right, left, exactly.
Reggie Love, all right? So you said, Mike, that they ran it 23 times today?
Yeah.
Look, I know they ran it 7 times in the fourth quarter. And I know that Bielema in his head is thinking, gotta save those runs for the fourth quarter. Gotta save those runs for the fourth quarter. I can't blow Reggie Love like before the fourth, before I need to, like, you know, run this game out. I can't have him at the 20 carry mark at this point. Gotta save him. And basically that's when, you know, John Paddock ends up with 47 passes when there's what, 8 minutes, 9 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. And now you're sitting there and you're going, okay, all right, I've saved Reggie Love this entire game. Damn it. Now we're going to go. Now we're going to go win the football game. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And I think that's his frustration. And my other frustration, just beyond what today, is I get Ked's frustration, because it's not. He says this all the time. It's not just Kedrick Prince. I get his frustration. But here's what I don't get. And I'm just going to say it. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. You cannot say, I'm a huge Brett Bielema fan, but I don't like what they're doing philosophically on offense. That is fundamentally.
That's not true. Here's why I like Brett Bielema, and I'll let you finish. I like Brett Bielema because he knows how to win college football games. I've always said, we can go back a year and a half. Mike, me and you, Mike and Brad, we've all been on this podcast. We've all, except for you, stated we sometimes struggle with the system that he runs. I like Brett because of this, and I'm sorry. Because one, I think he understands the game. I think he's a hell of a recruiter. I think he brought life to the program. He has a winning tradition, and Illinois is at least competitive. That's what I like about it. And so I can have my cake and ice cream in it too, because that's my cake, and the ice cream will be is if he will make adjustments. So I'm sorry to cut you off. But I do like him as a coach. I'm telling you, I really do. I would be pissed if they fired him.
But no, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, I don't mind the people that like Brett Bielema, but like over here, okay? But you can't just, if you're going to get Brett Bielema, you know what you're going to get over here too.
Yeah, I get you.
Okay? So to be really, really frustrated with the offensive philosophy at the end of games, but be really happy that Brett Bielema is your head coach, that's not parallel thinking.
I know what the alternative is, and he was hired before Brett Bielema. I know what you're saying, and I know, you know, it doesn't make a ton of sense to other people, but to me, I don't want to go back to what we went to before Brett was hired. I just don't. I put it like this. Mike and I said, what was the score Lovie Smith last when they played? I was a 63-0. That's not going to happen on a Brett Bielema. It only had a chance to win today. I'm just asking the guy with tweaking, like Mike just said, it's 2023, you know, make a few adjustments. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I know John Paddock isn't a running quarterback. He didn't try to run once today. Now, he probably would have got one of his legs broke. I get it.
He can't.
But he didn't even try once.
He can't. He can't.
I know he's not fast. Well, no. You know what?
Well, I mean, running look, the ball Ken, middle, they tried to do.
Sorry, go ahead.
To Barry's credit, they tried to do the fourth and short quarterback sneak, and it went for negative 2 yards.
If he'd cut up two steps earlier, he would have had it.
I think so.
Yeah,
too,
but like that's he not. Didn't. But that's but John Paddock's going to screw that up every time because that's not what he does. That's what he does poorly, right? So, all I'm telling you is that the man came here with a philosophy. This is what I'm going to do. And if you don't like it, there's the door.
And here's the question that I would say back. Here's the question I would say back. And this is the same thing that I've said to sales reps for decades.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm with you.
Are you happy with your results? If not, what can you do or say differently that will get better results? So if he looks at the body of his work here and he says he's frustrated about we can't close out games, what can he, as the head coach of the University of Illinois football program, what can he do to affect change, not for change's sake? What can he do for better results? And that's the part
You know what I think? Honestly, hold on, Mike. You know what I think?
He has to look in the mirror and do that.
No, I agree with you, Mike. You know what he would answer? Likely, I don't know. Like, I would likely think Brett Bielema's answer to that would be rep our situational football more, like Iowa does, and then therefore it becomes more robotic, and that's why they're 9-2 and we're 5-6.
And I would argue that the talent isn't equal, so you have to recruit better. So there's right. that.
But I mean, you know what I mean. He's looking at this like I rep situational football all the time, and then we get into these situations, and we just completely blow it. And So I guess we got to do it more because Iowa's doing it more.
Yeah, and that goes – let me go, Ked, then I'll jump in. Yeah. To me, that's almost like saying that the only answer to, fire is I'm going to light a bigger fire to stop your fire. And, I'm like, okay, now, again, and I go back. My only argument I have is I remember, of course, Matt, you and I didn't know each other. Ked, we didn't really know each other that well back in – when 8 years ago or whatever it was in 2017 or 16, whenever it was that Lane Kiffin came to Alabama. But I remember thinking Lane Kiffin isn't going to last through the whole season because Nick Saban is not going to allow this crazy offense to dictate his life. And then Nick Saban not only adjusted, but he adjusted to winning more titles and having more rings on his fingers. So that's the only thing that I would say is at some point Brett Bielema may, and he may not, but he may look into the mirror and say, you know what? I want to do better than that. And the counter argument is with a team that's not as deep as Iowa's, they stayed within 2 points of a 9-2 team and arguably could have won. Ked?
That's what I was going to say. I don't know. I know Matt's probably going to fall out of the chair when I say this. Is the talent that much better? Because Illinois lost to them by 2 points. This team ranked 16th in the country. Wisconsin's supposed to have much more talent. Illinois is in these games. Maryland had much more talent. I don't think they do. I mean, I know we can look at all these recruiting stars and blah, 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 but the bottom line is they went toe-to-toe on the road with 70,000 people, whatever was in that stadium, and went toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, but so they got blown out by Purdue, and they got one-sided by Nebraska.
We can say that about a lot of teams because everybody.
No, but you can't say that about Iowa.
No,
I. So if we're comparing. The only reason I say this, Ked, is we're comparing to Iowa, and Iowa got its head handed to them by Penn State.
You know, Mike, who you also couldn't say it about? Brett Bielema's Wisconsin.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, honestly, like pretty much every time they had equal talent, they physically manhandled who they were playing and they just beat them. But then they would play an Ohio State, or they would play a Michigan, or they would play an Iowa, which was kind of a hard game for Bielema to win even then. And it would be a dogfight. It would be an absolute dogfight. But, No, I think Brett Bielema is frustrated by the idea that, you know, we should be able to close these games out in the way that I want to close them out. And the comment to me that just reigns is when I asked him about I don't even know if it was me. I think it might have been Joe Vazzoli, like, asked him about running the football and having Reggie Love having success. And he's like, yeah, I wish we'd have done it more. That was the middle of the comment where he's like, yeah, I think we did. We got into a rhythm with Reggie. And you know what? I wish we'd have done it more. I mean, that is the head coach of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And he's going to be for a long time, folks. And,
and it may work in his mind, but I'm going to tell you what, in the last year and a half, it has not been a recipe for success because it didn't work today. And you mentioned the other couple of games where it did not. I am really sorry, but if I watch them play enough games and know that's what they're going to do in the fourth quarter, I'm stacking the damn box because I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about stopping the pass. I'm just going to say, look, let's play 9 men in a box. And they still
got it. My God, though, Mike, Kags and Ked, I mentioned on our board once the 5-on-8 drill that they do.
Yeah.
And it made everybody just blow.
Yeah, I agree. That was entertaining, yes.
So, I mean, I'm not doing that again, but I know that's a drill that they run every single day in practice. So, like, I mean, give me a break. Like,
but if I go back to last year, you know, Indiana, you know, was a game that you thought we probably could have done the same thing.
Okay, hold on. Yeah. Get a stop. Like, let's agree.
That's the other part. That's the other hide. That's the other side of it. Yep.
Throw the offense out. Indiana last year, get a stop. Iowa today, get a stop. Maryland this year. I know they won the game with Caleb Griffin at the end of the game. Walk off field goal. Yippee. Holla. Get a stop. Then that doesn't
get a first down. So get a first down. That doesn't have to happen. The same thing. Get a first down. Doesn't have to happen.
Well, it's a team sport, right?
Yes. It works both ways. And I think that's what's frustrating. And people were kind of mad. Somebody made a comment about, you know, Aaron Henry giving up all those points early to an Iowa defense. I think he did pretty good, and I would say he did no worse than anybody else. It's a team game. I think we're both right to a certain extent, but the one thing we're never going to agree on, I don't think they make adjustments enough in that regard. You cannot do – I tell you what, there's only one game left, or possibly two. The next time that situation comes, whether I'm sitting in a press box next to you or whether they're somewhere in Las Vegas where you hopefully want to go to for a bowl game, I'm going to text you when this is happening because it's predictable. If I know it, and I know you know it, but I know in your mind you think they should get the first down, other teams know it, and they're going to take that away from you.
Here's where I'm a little sympathetic to them, Kat, is that
okay.
You do have to have an identity to your program and who we are and what we want to be.
Okay. Like,
and
winners.
Yeah, that's not, you know, Mike, you've done this. You've been around that. You know that that's not the answer with any of these guys. That's just not.
But I look at the one guy that he idolizes is Bill Belichick.
Oh,
and Belichick.
I was going to say Hayden Fry, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. Hayden Fry would be another one. Yeah. But Bill Belichick goes out there and he adjusts based on what he needs. You know, one year it's, you know, he's throwing to wide outs. The next year he's throwing to tight ends, you know, depending on where the personnel grouping is.
It's different. And, I mean, I'm just telling, like, I agree, but it's different in the NFL. Like, you don't have your year to year identity in the NFL could change. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so in college, you have an identity of this is what we do. This is who we are. This is going to be the foundation of how we recruit. This is how this is the foundation of who we go get player wise. This is the foundation of what we do. And so this is the foundation of how we're going to win.
What do you think Alabama's? What do you think Alabama's identity is
anymore? Like after they got rid of Lane? I'm being dead honest. I think Nick's gone back to the old school with Jalen Milroe and said, hey, look, I mean, we're going to throw it deep, but we're going to run the football. Like, and it bit them against Texas, but it hasn't bit them in one of the most competitive conferences in all of football. So,
but here's the only difference is they still attack. And this is what I thought Mike Leach, God rest his soul, Mike Leach would talk about this all the time on his radio show when he was in purgatory because of the fake charges that
when he put a kid in a shed.
Yeah, yeah.
He put Craig James' son in a shed.
Yeah, Craig James, you know, and his family made up all sorts of stuff, right? Sure. So Mike Leach used to talk about him and the old coach at Georgia Tech who ran the
Paul Johnson, the triple Johnson. Option.
And he said, he goes, we do the same thing. And I listened to him and I thought, well, what does he mean by that? And he said, he goes, we find ways to attack gaps on the defense and get the ball outside so that we can get into the open. Now, I'm not saying we want to run the triple option. I'm not saying that. But the interesting thing is then maybe spice it up a little bit. And then the only other thing is with Brett Bielema, and this is where I'm firm. Again, I think he's a good coach, so don't miss this. But I do think where he has to win, and I'm concerned he's not winning as much as he wants to, although I don't think he'd ever admit it, is he has to win when he recruits offensive linemen, and he has to win when he recruits defensive linemen. Because that is how you dominate college football, like Alabama and like Michigan's doing this year. And we knew that the Brett Bielema recipe is recruit these kids. They redshirt their freshman year. They learn the game their redshirt freshman year and their redshirt sophomore year. And then that fourth year, they are beasts. Well, the first recruiting class really doesn't count, which means we're still a year away from that plan working. And so I think he's got to obviously keep the pressure on recruiting offensive and I think the defensive linemen were behind the eight ball on.
Well, let's get it back to today. Like, let's just be real about this. We can squawk all we want to about the end of this game, right? And how Illinois couldn't close out the game offensively, and then Iowa gets the ball back and they finally score. Here's the deal. When you play Iowa, and everybody knows it because they repped this way and they practiced this way all week, you cannot make fundamental mistakes against Iowa because guess what? They're not going to do it.
And they're going to make you pay for each one. Right. That's fair.
Let's be very clear about this. And I'm not saying this is the reason they lost the football game, but things add up. You lost by two today. What was the first thing that Illinois did wrong? They blew a protection and they caused a safety. 2-0. You don't do that. And if Illinois maybe could have punted, okay?
Yeah.
Like that's the difference. That's a difference in the ball game. Okay. If you fit that run up the way that you're supposed to fit it, God bless his heart. And like I applaud him for the responsibility that was taken in front of the media. Clayton Bush looks us straight in the eye and says, I screwed up. And when you screw up against Iowa, it goes for a touchdown. Like, that's what happens. And that's what I'm talking about when they bring you in, like Iowa brings you down into the mud pit and says, we're just going to play more efficiently than you are. And and I think that's why in Brett Bielema's head, when he's thinking about this, he's going, God, we rep this situational stuff all the time. And these guys just do it better than us. Like every single time. And so it's not, I don't feel like Iowa is Indiana Jones and they're just getting away with it every single week. That's just not possible. Like, there's got to be a fundamental reason why Iowa is able to just play more efficiently than everybody else that they play. Part of the reason is going to end on July 1st.
Exactly correct.
When the division stops and Iowa starts playing more teams that have either equal or better talent than them in the league, that's going to start happening. But if we're talking about Iowa and Illinois, I mean, I don't think Illinois is poorly coached, but I do think that Iowa is better coached. I don't think that that's, not, I mean, I'm not. I don't
23
think
out of 25 years or whatever, 22 out of 25 years in a bowl game. I mean, not that Brett Bielema is doing a bad job, but let's face it. I mean, that's awfully hard to counter unless you're wearing scarlet and
when I think Phil Parker ought to be up in that ring of honor that I'm looking at right now when he's done. I mean, that's not a hard thing to say. So right. I don't know what to tell people about philosophically how Brett Bielema wants to win football games. You're gonna have to eat that egg, folks. You're just going to have to eat it. But I do know that Brett Bielema is really frustrated by, we worked all week long about, there's one more thing I want to, I do want to get out before we get out of here, but there's one, but we worked all week about trying to play damn near as perfect as we possibly could. And we getting down in the middle of this, we can't get a first down, and then we miss a run fit and it goes for 30 yards for a guy that had like 22 yards on nine carries most of the way. Like, why can't you guys, when the time is needed to make plays that win or lose you football games, why are we not making those plays? And I think that's the major frustration of the third year head coach. I do.
Ed?
Well, I agree. I understand what Matt is saying. I do. But I really like your comment, Matt, Mike, about the sales pitch. What are you going to do differently? Because you can have all the philosophy in the world. I mean, I'll tell you what, you know, again, apples and oranges here, and I truly mean that, not just a cliche. You know what? I love to press. But if I press the basketball team and they shot layups off of it, I'll be damned if I'm going to continue to press and give layups up. I got to change. And I love, again, what they do. But I've also said this. You got, now today is different, so let's take this game out of the window. And especially with the teams coming in, like you mentioned, July 1st, if you can't score 25, 30 points in the game when those teams come in, they're going to get beat. That's why Wisconsin's changing. It's not going to be that way anymore. You got to be able to put points, whether I don't care if it's running the ball or throwing the ball. Just play to win and not be conservative. That's my only complaint, and I think they do that too much. I think they think that they can just sit there, and I know for a fact, you guys know that Iowa's defense is tough. The Illinois offensive line is what was poor, but it got better. They're not going to knock Iowa off the blocks, especially when they know it's coming. No, I just you knew it was too good to be true. So that's my thing with it. I mean, it stinks for the fans. I know people are upset because, like I said, Illinois can't have nice things, and you know, they get their hopes up, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's taken away from them, because that was heart-wrenching to sit there. And then you sit there and watch them celebrate, knowing the fact that you were probably the better team today. But it didn't work out. So they need to take in the, you know, you need to look in the mirror. And I think losing games like this, regardless of what you guys think, it's not going to kill recruiting, but it would help if you could go to say, hey, we beat Iowa two games in a row. We beat them last year at home. We beat them, you know, in Iowa City for the first time. Being close is great, but now you're 5-6.
So, okay. I have a legitimate question.
Yes, sir.
If that's what Kedrick Prince, and I know a lot of other Illini fans want, okay, against good defenses, is Illinois playing the right quarterback at that point?
Are you asking me if I think they play the right quarterback now?
No. I'm saying that if you think they need to make tight window throws to close out a football game against like an Iowa defense, maybe like tight window throws that require you to throw all the way into the boundary on when you're on the other side of the, when you're on the other hash.
I'm going to tell you this.
Are they playing the quarterback that's able to do that?
I'm going to tell you this, and you are not going to think you know I'm a straight shooter. I don't lie, and this is what I honestly believe. And I hope Chad Altmaier and his family don't get mad at this. The best quarterback right now on that team is John Paddock. To answer your question, that was the guy that they should have had on the field today. I'm glad to hear Brett Bielema say that he's going to be the guy that's going to throw next week when they play Northwestern. I think right now, you know, talent-wise, upside, we can say Luke Altmaier has it. I'll support that 100%. But to throw the ball, he didn't throw the ball behind people. I don't even know. I can't remember. I don't have the stats in front of me. Mike, I know you have in front of me. How many times did he get sacked today? How many times did Patty get sacked today?
Four times.
Okay. And a game against Iowa. And I remember the last game before – in Minnesota, Altmaier got sacked five times in one half. My thing is, Matt, to answer your question, right now, He gives them the best chance to win. And the players know that. They're
one,
going to
I'm
say
sorry,
whatever.
I looked at the wrong way. One.
Okay. I don't remember that. Because I'm thinking right now, if you ask the players, they're going to say the politically correct thing. We've done interviews enough to know, we can win with both guys. The reason why he got that nod today, because he gives them the best chance to win. He throws a tight ball. And I think the sky's the limit for Luke. And I think he's going to learn that. I think he's going to get better. But, there's some reason that John's not being set. And I think he throws a really good ball. And we talked about the beginning of this podcast. We mentioned at the beginning of it, how many drop balls do they have? I know his arm slot is different. And Luke Altmyer, he may be listed as 6'2". No way possible. I was on the field. He's not 6'2 either. So the people who are criticizing that they have John Pack listed as 6 foot, he may be 5'10". Luke Altmyer is not much taller. So I know he's the future of the program. I'm all for that. I'm glad he started today. But right now, I think he's a better quarterback as far as running that offense because the offense moved. They moved the ball against Iowa today. So that's my opinion. I'm not lying to you. You may feel totally different, but you always say the head coach is Brett Bielema at the University of Illinois. He must start the same thing because he started today. And John, and I looked at the injury report, and last I saw, Luke Altmyer was able to play today.
There are throws in this offensive system that John Paddock has a very, very small chance to complete. And I believe it's because it is an offensive system that was tailored toward Luke Altmyer's skill set. Because they never believed that John Paddock was going to be anything more than an emergency backup.
Let me ask you this, though, and I promise I'll be done. I'm sorry. Look at last week and look at today. I'm not putting you on the spot, but don't you think the offensive play calling is a little different? I don't ever remember seeing them throw the ball, the deep ball, as much as they do with John Paddock as they didn't do with Luke Altmyer. They don't do it. Look at the numbers Isaiah Williams put up the last 3 weeks. Some of those yards he got, because we talk about how he's had 100 yards last three games, some of those came late because John was in the game. Luke played the first four quarters, three and a half quarters, and didn't do it. They move the ball better, and he throws a better ball and gives the players a chance to catch it. Right now, Luke may be able to have the talent to do it, but he hasn't proven to me or anybody else because I've not seen it. I mean, you just haven't. Look at Isaiah's numbers. When Luke's quarterback, and look at him with John's quarterback. How in the world did Isaiah Williams manage to get 105 yards today against that defense? He's a better quarterback right now. And I'm sorry. I don't mean that. And I don't want to see Luke leave. I think he's the future of the program. But right now, he gives him the best chance to win. He puts the ball in spots that I don't think Luke can do. And if he did, the play calling would be different. I'd love to hear your comments on it because I sit and watch the same games you do. How many times you see them just drop back and throw the ball deep to Isaiah Williams with Luke? They'll do it to keep the defense honest, and then it's dink, 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 and then throw it down the field one time every quarter, and they're done. They don't do that with John. They'll let him throw it. There's a reason for that.
I listened to Isaiah Williams in August tell me that Luke Altmyer's best attribute is the deep ball and that he really has to get a lot better throwing accuracy from, you know, basically on his middle throws. Sure. and actually the short throws because he – so Ked
– But they don't do it.
To be completely honest, Ked, I have no – and basically based off of what I watched all August, look, Ked, I have no earthly idea what the hell you're talking about. Because I don't think
okay, here's what I'm talking about, Matt. You can say what you saw in preseason. You can say what looks good on paper. I'm telling you facts. They do not throw the deep ball in games with Luke Altmyer. Whatever they do in practice, in games they haven't done it. I have the Big Ten Network Plus. I will go back and watch every game of Thanksgiving break and tell you how many times they've done it. They don't throw the deep ball with him like that. They don't even look at doing it with him. And I know he can spin it. I've seen him do it. Maybe it's because his delivery is slower. Maybe because they don't want him to get hit, to get sacked, because he's been hit a ton of times. I don't know the reason. I know when John Paddock is that quarterback, that kid is able to drop back and throw that ball 30 and 40 yards, and they don't think twice about it. They don't do that with Luke. That's what I'm talking about, Matt. You know what I'm saying to you, because they don't do it. If they did, why would anybody care that John Paxson was a quarterback? Because this kid's putting up offense. Luke's had a whole year, and he hasn't put up 350 yards of offense. I don't care if it was against Indiana.
I do. There were so many busts against Indiana. I do.
Okay, well, we're going to disagree, but I'm going to tell you this. I will challenge you to go back and tell how many – look at the deep balls and compare three games, because I'm going to tell you, they're doing it with him. I know that. That's why everybody's in up in arms about who's going to be the guy behind center today. And again, he named him the starting quarterback next week after a loss. That should tell you something. That's telling you he's giving you the best chance to win right now. There's no way in the world I would say if John Paddock was had another year of eligibility, I would still say, because I do think Luke's talented. I'm telling you, I know he is. I don't want to see him get demoted. I want to see them go to a bowl game. And as a coach, you should put your best players in the field to give you the best chance of winning. I think if Luke would have played today, he probably would have got hurt and would he be done for the season.
Well, that's exactly why I personally like the Altmaier a little better, because he doesn't get all those passes knocked down. And he seems to be able to see over the line a little better. Although you're right, neither of these guys is Josh Allen, where he's looking, 6'5" over the top. But I do think that coming off of what we think is probably a head injury, possibly a concussion, but some sort of medical issue around his head, I think that coming back against Iowa was a lose-lose situation where he could get his brains scrambled. Because the other part of Iowa is you saw punches. There were punches when guys were down, and if you don't cover yourself up, they'll take your head off. I thought Paddock, one of the times he got hit after he threw the ball that they didn't call, looked like a helmet to helmet that they could have if they were looking at the same thing they did to Johnny Newton. They did. Now they got another one later on, so I felt better about that. But I don't know that I want Luke Altmaier out there getting headshots, from the Iowa defense. So
he's been hit too many times this year.
No, I agree. And like I said, so I would not have started him, but it would have been based on his health. Anyway, I still think he's probably, if I had to.
I'm telling you right now.
I'm not saying that's what Bielema did. I'm saying that's what I.
Yeah, would. No, I just want to make that very clear. Bielema outed himself today. I don't think he knows he did it, but he did it. Okay.
What do you mean?
This has nothing to do with how Iowa scored 15 points and how Illinois scored 13 points. Let's just be very clear about this with our listeners. When you sit in that post game room and you tell everybody, I told the quarterbacks on Sunday who was going to be the starter and who was going to be the backup, and you did this whole, song and dance about how Luke's medical situation was going to last until Tuesday, you outed yourself and said, no, I needed to buy myself some time before I had to make a call. And, I don't want to get into that, but I do know that, you stepped in it, with what you, basically he admitted he wanted to play some games with Iowa today. And
which I would have done too.
Okay, fine. But Mike, your message probably would have stayed the same from Monday until, Thursday afternoon, which the message did not.
Well, okay. So the bottom line is I would have tried to keep them on their toes, and I would have just kind of went back and forth, and I would have probably even declared on a radio show. I probably would have even maybe theoretically hypothesized the wrong guy starting.
The guy going to Indianapolis said on Tuesday that his best football player was out. Kirk Ferentz said that Cooper DeJean was not going to play on Tuesday.
But that's a difference in choice, right?
Let's do that.
Which is fair.
But that's fine. But it's just a difference. It's a difference in how I want to run, my operation too. I believe. And then you trot Caden Fagan in front of us on Tuesday and Wednesday in the training room on the exercise bike. And now you're going to sit in there on Saturday and go, oh, by the way, Caden Fagan's going to have season-ending surgery. But, and on Thursday, you were like, well, he might be able to make the trip. Like, you've outed yourself. Like, so just,
I agree.
Tell so like, truth. I mean, give me a break. Like, I mean, so, and Kirk Ferentz just isn't doing that. He's like, look, you know, my best player is going to be out. We're going to deal with it. Like, it's fine. Like, it's not fine, but like, we're going to deal with it. We're still going to win. And so, I mean, the messaging stayed the same from Monday to, you know, Friday afternoon in Iowa City. The messaging did not stay the same in Illinois. So, but again, I want to make that very clear. It didn't have a whole lot to do with Iowa scoring 15 and Illinois scoring 13. But I do think from a leadership standpoint, like, there's a difference there. I mean, and so, but I just look, the idea that's the last thing is that the frustration for me is just like, I think, first of all, I do think that Aaron Henry's defense struggled in the first quarter.
Yes.
So, I mean, let's just be very clear about that. I think they struggled in the first quarter and they got it figured out in the second and the third quarter and halfway through the fourth quarter. They figured it out. They understood what Iowa was trying to get accomplished, and they figured out what personnel to have on the field and yada, yada, yada. But they did struggle against an offense that is not very good, like early on. But then also I think Brett Bielema is looking at his defense and going, guys, like, get a stop. Like, you know, I do think he's thinking in his head, damn, I brought Johnny Newton back. I brought Keith Randolph back. I brought some of the, like Tyreek Barnes came back, you know, some of these guys have got to start making plays, you know? And so, I go back to like what, you know, Dylan Rosiak kind of told us was that we were preached all week long. This is going to be like a 70 play football game. And if we screw up badly on one, it's not going to matter what we do in the other 69. There's a lot of truth to that when you play Iowa. And so again, I don't want to make this sound like Iowa escaped and this is a clown show that Kirk Ferentz is running here in Iowa City. They're 9-2 because they just play better than you and they know it. And it can be really, really frustrating to have to stay that patient against a team and know that if you make mistakes, I was going to make you pay for them, period. And I think that that's a fundamental thing that, you know, these teams who get beat consistently by Iowa are going to have to figure out from not only from a schematic standpoint, from a leadership standpoint. And so that's kind of where I sit. I know, like, again, just the most frustrating thing to me is that you folks knew what you were getting with Brett Bielema, and he's never told you once, well, maybe we need to do it differently. Never once. Like, he's never wavered in the spring, in any spring or anything. He's going to try to win football games this week.
Well, but Paul didn't think he had any problems until he was on the road to Damascus. So, I mean, ultimately, you Brett may never have that moment, right? Because he may, because if his vision works and he elevates Illinois to 10-2 every year, like Iowa is, I'm not going to complain. That's the other thing that I think is hilarious about Illini fans. They're like, oh, I would never want to be Iowa. And I'm like, you're insane. We've spent the last 40 years getting trounced by them, watching them, you know, go 10-2 and play on New Year's Day bowls. And maybe they don't win the Big Ten very often, but my goodness, you know, if Illinois could be at 10-2, Kirk Ferentz would have a statue that might be bigger than the Statue of Liberty in front of Memorial Stadium for the
pretty
career he's had. Yeah.
Pretty good life to live.
Yeah. So look, and when you look at it through that one, this is why I can try to talk about both sides for the fans. When you look at it through that prism of, would you like to be Iowa? Yes, we would. And then would you like, you know, we were 2 points, we're 3 points away. We're a field goal away from it. And to me, again, I go back and say, this is just how I've always coached people and how I coach myself is what could I do different or better? And I think that's where, you know, if one of those drives, you know, that we had to punt the ball on, you know, if you look at it, Illinois' drive chart was safety, punt, field goal, touchdown, field goal attempt. Then punt, field goal, punt, punt, downs. So if you just go with the one, two, three, five punts and the downs, those plays we're not really thinking about right now, but you don't drop a pass on one of those. You get a little more aggressive. You do something a little bit different, and you get one more score. Illinois wins this game, and everybody thinks that Brett Bielema is God. And that is the problem with sports: is you overreact to the win, to the losses, and you overreact to the wins, both of them. And I think he's going to look at it and say, well, we're really close to being the 9-2, probably a 10-2 team that he's envisioned. And that's what Iowa is.
Yeah, my only counter to that, though, is that schematically, especially offensively, one of the teams that resembles Illinois the most is Minnesota. They came right in here and won 12-10.
Well,
you can do it.
No, you can. And you also need a really good call on a because Iowa got screwed on that call.
Oh yeah, but sometimes it happens.
I know. I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean? They needed a big assist, you know, from the refs.
Sure, but sometimes you get it.
Yeah, like, no, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I mean, no, yeah. And I'm look, referees out there. I'm totally willing to allow you guys to call a few bad ones for us.
Right. Right. You know? The only thing I'll leave you guys with is that. We're now at a game in which, you know, everybody knows what this game's for next week. Okay. We all know it's for six. It's to get the six wins, to get the bowl, blah, 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 blah. This is how my brain works. Okay. Four first year coaches in the Big Ten. Four. You're 0-3 against them, and you've got one more left if you're Brett Bielema. Don't go 0-4. Like, I mean, if David Braun comes into Champaign and beats you, and now Northwestern is 7-5, like, boy, howdy. Like, I mean, don't let that happen. Like, I really think that Brett Bielema is going to have to there's going to be some come to Jesus moments. And I don't mean people getting fired, but I mean, like, what do I got to do to get this to stop happening? Because don't let David Braun and what you thought was going to be a one and done year go 7-5 with a win against you and go bowling. And you're sitting at home at 5-7, 0-4 against the first year head coaches in your league, knowing that by the time July 1st rolls around, it ain't going to get any easier. Like that's the weight of what Illinois has to look forward to on this coming Saturday.
Yeah, they have to win that. Ked, any thoughts on this upcoming Northwestern game?
What Matt said, square, they cannot lose Saturday, and it's not going to be easy. They have to bring it in whatever necessary it means, because you have to go to a bowl game, you know, it's your rivalry game, and we've seen this game do a lot of strange things, and, you know, I do think the players will be up for it, and it's senior day, so maybe that'll play a part in it, you know, maybe, you know, the lucky charm will go their way, but they cannot lose Saturday. This would be devastating. I want to see them win, because I think we can't stress enough going to a bowl game, what that does for the conference, what it does for your program, what it does for recruiting. This stinks, because I mean, I know the show's ending, but I still go back to that Nebraska loss. That Nebraska loss, I get a migraine thinking about that loss every time. I know some people feel it's Purdue, but for me, Nebraska, they just look like they didn't want to be on the field. So now you put yourself in a situation where you must win Saturday.
Let me clarify something that Ked did say. Illinois absolutely can lose this game on this coming Saturday. I know what Ked's trying to say. Yeah. I'm telling you, they absolutely can.
Oh, yeah.
Lose, I mean, game, because Northwestern can walk into Champaign and beat them. Like, yeah, this is not the walkover you thought this was in August. It's far from it now. And so you talk about something that absolutely can happen, is Northwestern coming in and beating you, and suddenly now they're 7-5. They're probably going to a decent-sized bowl game, maybe in Nashville, maybe in Las Vegas, maybe in Phoenix. And David Braun now has a big, giant contract that he can recruit off of, with a nice, big, giant stadium that he's going to recruit to, you know, in the next coming years. They absolutely can lose this game Saturday. They need to not let it happen. But they absolutely can. It can happen. It's gotten to a point in a matter of 4 or 5 months where Northwestern beating Illinois in Champaign in the regular season finale is not the absolute, you know, this can't happen thing that you thought it was when my birthday rolled around on August 16th. And so that's where Brett Bielema's program kind of lays right now.
Yeah. I mean, that is the ultimate thing, because Northwestern, you've got to figure out how you're beating them, because you do have to, you really want to go to a bowl. The extra 15 practices over the course of a player's career is an extra season of practice. And there's a reason why the Iowas and Ohio States and Michigan are better. And it's not just that, you know, they get better recruits and they pay more and all that excuses. Part of it is they're very well coached and they get a lot of extra practices in each and every year to make sure that that gap is maintained. And Illinois needs Gabe Yakus has been really progressing here towards the end of the year. He needs another 15 practices to make him be the best he can possibly be, you know, and the whole Illinois team falls into that category. And I do think that's, you know, a place they have to go. They've got to find a way to beat this Northwestern team. And I do think that it's going to be a game with more pressure, maybe on the coaching staff and perceived by the media. I'm not certain how much the kids, you know, let that bother them, but this game has a lot more implications and a lot more stress than I thought it would have. And I also think that up at Northwestern, the job that was done there for a team that you could argue may not win more than one or two games, he should be the national coach of the year. Because
it's easily the least talented team in a power league.
And he has done
6-5 right now.
Yeah. And he's done wonderful work. I don't care. You know, Ryan Day coaching him undefeated. Okay, good. I think you or I could do that. But I would say that's the real issue is that, you know, that you've got a guy who deserves to be the national coach of the year. And there he is doing it, you know, right there on TV.
I would argue that if anybody in the country, based off of what I saw today, also wins the Frank Broyles Award other than Phil Parker, I don't know what we're doing. I really don't know what we're doing, because Iowa's 9-2 and their offense has absolutely no business putting together a team that can go 9-2. So somebody else other than Phil Parker is going to win the Frank Broyles. Frank Broyles is the National Assistant Coach of the Year Award given out in Little Rock. I have no earthly idea what we're doing.
They won't give it out to a Big Ten West team.
There's no doubt. I mean, but I don't know what at that point what we're doing. So
yeah. So Ked, your final thoughts?
Win on Saturday. Give the fans something to look forward to, and the season's over and build into next year. That's it for me.
Matt, final thoughts?
Illinois has got to figure out a way to win games down the stretch. I don't care how you do it. Philosophically, I really don't care how you do it. Brett Bielema's got not just 6 days to do it, figure out it against Northwestern, but he's probably got a whole offseason to figure it out. Illinois has got to figure it out, because there's been way too many games over the last year and a half where they just simply haven't done it.
Yep. That's a pretty simple assessment of what it is. And of course, you know, we understand that Coach B has elevated this team quite a bit, and we want the team to win. And the same thing I would always say is, as those, for example, the wide receivers who dropped a few passes, you know, they've got to look and say, okay, so what am I going to do? You know, you got to see the point and clutch, you know, and grab the fat, so to speak, on the football. So what do I need to do to get better at that, so that when those opportunities come to me in a game, I don't drop them? And, you know, like, you look at a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. and the practice that he puts in after hours is phenomenal. If you talk to anybody who covers Ohio State, whether they're a regular or somebody who just goes there for a game. And so he's working hard at his craft. And I think the coaching staff has to do the same thing. You know, what do we do different or better to get the results? And I don't really care. I mean, if you can win, you know, 10 games a year by running up the middle and never calling another play. Look, aesthetically, it's maybe not that pleasing, but if you can win 10 games, I'm all for it. Right now, we're not winning 10 games, which means coach has to figure out how you keep improving the player pipeline and how you keep developing them well and how you give them strategies to win. So that means all that should be on the table as you figure out what you're going to do to get better results. And the results should be the driver of it. We'll be right back after this commercial. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together. Thank you so much for listening to Eye on the Illini. You people who subscribe and listen to this are truly the people who help us do it. We would ask one thing from you. If you can share this on your social media, please do so. Let other Illini fans hear it, and maybe they'll enjoy it as well. Please subscribe to our site and all the likes and thumbs up and good ratings that you can give us. We greatly appreciate. We'll be back on Sunday after the Southern game, where Illinois' basketball team will be playing. And then we will have a preview of the Northwestern game. And, of course, on the weekend, we will have the Western Illinois game on Friday night and then the Northwestern game on Saturday. So it'll be a lot of podcasts. We hope you enjoy them. And, of course, we need the Illini to keep winning. We'd love to have a bowl game and 15 additional practices for these players. With that, we'll leave you with a good old-fashioned Go Illini.